All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We just talked about water. Now we're going to further confuse everybody and bring CO2, temperature, water, and nutrients all together. So, Ken, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. I have a whole list of authors, just like Bruce did. But this is the United Kingdom-funded DFID project, and it's not the entire group because he's just listing the people that worked with the maize models, okay? And the reasons for looking at what we call CTWN is to understand how and why the crop models are responding differently to the CO2, temperature, water, nitrogen, and the ultimate goal there is they've used these to look at climate scenarios and need to know how to interpret how and why the models are giving different answers, because they're running both models. The hypotheses here are that the crop models have similar response to CTWN. Response to CO2, not affected by nitrogen. Response to nitrogen, not affected by initial conditions or soil carbon methods. And response to nitrogen, not linked to genetic yield potential. Now, there were 5 of the 7 teams worked with maize, the first 4 in Africa, mostly on degraded soils, South India, well-fertilized, irrigated. They were collecting household survey data on crop yield. So this is pretty sparse information on what someone says the yield was. Also sparse on management inputs, like nitrogen amount and sowing date. We use the EPSIM DSAT models. EPSIM has a fraction inert type where the soil carbon is not turning over. The DSAT Century uses the soil SOM3 pool, which is stable, slow turnover. Teams obtained local weather and soil data, and cultivar traits were calibrated to cultivars somewhere in Africa, but not necessarily the farm sites, as close as we could get to a type. They attempted to calibrate models to mimic the probability distributions in their farm surveys, mostly by playing with, if there wasn't low enough yields, pushing the stable carbon and the fraction inert to a higher value. Unknowns also included the initial nitrate and ammonia, not available, prior crop residue, not available, or what these pools should be. And quite often we had to push up this fraction inert and SOM3 in Century to mimic the low yields observed. Now, for somewhere, taking one median, I should have borrowed the pointer from Bruce, okay, but for a median farm within the single site, yeah, I'll still do that. We did a response to CO2 all the way from 360 to 720, and temperature variation from -2 to steps of 2 degrees up to 8 degrees Celsius. Rainfall from 25 to 200% of ambient, and nitrogen fertilization, 0 to 180. And the simulations were done over multiple 30 years of weather for a site. So when we look at box and whisker plots, what you will see is interannual variation is the box and whisker. So responses to CO2, temperature, rainfall, nitrogen, and CO2 response done at 2 CO2 levels. I mean, 2 nitrogen levels. First one, non-legume models typically give less response to CO2 when nitrogen is limiting. So here's a case in South India where it's irrigated, high yield potential, basically no response under low nitrogen. With high nitrogen, we're getting some response, and surprisingly, EPSIM is giving a greater response to CO2, and it may be related to how they do the TE method. Here's another case, Zimbabwe, where it's a low yield potential, severe water limitation. You can see the large box and whisker because of rainfall limitation, but small, modest response to CO2. Here's a case in South Africa, high yield potential, good cultivars, fertilized, generally good soils, but very severely water limited, so the response to CO2 under high nitrogen is greater than the response under low nitrogen, but still modest. here's a case of a C3, just to give you contrast. Yield from 3,000, 4,000 here, and here we're going at high nitrogen up to about 6-7, and a greater response for this C3 wheat with to CO2 under high nitrogen. Now here's some on temperature response, and this site, the two models, DSAT and ABSIM, are giving a very different response to temperature. DSAT is the sort of blue-green, ABSIM always red. And this site is Kotiala, Mali, and showing also both of them have somewhat the same sensitivity, but they're not starting the same place. This site is nitrogen limited. This one is no limitations from water or nitrogen. South Africa is a little bit plateau, so moderately cool, and Zimbabwe as well. So under this situation, the models, plus two, not doing too much to the yield reduction, but DSAT more strongly affected. And when I say DSAT, it's series maize. In Zimbabwe, both water and nitrogen limited, somewhat similar responses, and they're not calibrated particularly well in this example for their starting position. Here's an example in Kenya, and this is high elevation, so it's cool. This is a moderate elevation and the lowest elevation not shown here, but ABSIM showing very strong sensitivity to yield increase with temperature, the DSAT being plateau, plus two being better. A little bit lower elevation, the ABSIM still this response, DSAT this way. Now, what's different in these models? They're different in their base temperature and T optimum for life cycle, different on temperature effect on grain fill, different in temperature and RUE, and difference in soil nitrogen mineralization. So even though these models evolved in the same system back 25 years ago, they're quite different now. And here's an example of that. This is in Zimbabwe, very low production, just changing the soil, same location. And in this case, ABSIM showing this response. And at high nitrogen or high organic carbon soil, showing temperature sensitivity. So under low nitrogen, low carbon soils, the ABSIM model is giving us driving warming temperature drives soil carbon faster. The DSAT appears to be fairly stable. And this is not the crop. It's same results for sorghum, not here, but the finding. Rainfall sensitivity. This is in Mali, this is in Kenya, both low nitrogen environments. And about 100% of ambient rainfall, the yield plateaus, both locations. In fact, it goes down due to leaching of nitrogen. Now, why aren't they sensitive to rainfall? Very low nitrogen, low leaf area around one, no transpiration, a low transpiration demand. The question is this real in the field? So I think we need more work. Both models showing the same. In South Africa, very rainfall limited, but higher fertility soils. Here, very sensitive response to increased rainfall. So rainfall makes a difference. Here's a case of response to nitrogen. South India is irrigated, so no water limitation. We're going up to about 7,000 kilos, both models. Here's in South Africa, very water limited, yield response plateaus at about 60 kilos of nitrogen. So response to nitrogen, strongly dependent on water. Here's genetics, Kutiala, showing very flat response, and it's not the water that's limiting in Mali, because here's the rainfall change I showed you before. One more thing I'll show about this is the two models are not calibrated very well for their zero nitrogen fertilization rate. And that's related to whatever happens to the F-inert and SOM3. Kind of the same story here. They start off the same place. Zimbabwe, very water limited, no response to nitrogen. And I'll kick out of that one. So, several problems we observed. Setting of this SOM3 and fraction inert, critically important to mimic the low, often zero fertilized yields. If that's wrong, you get somewhat the wrong response to other factors, and also the wrong response to nitrogen if you're putting that in as an intervention for change. Cultivar yield potential makes a difference too, because it sets where you set the asymptote. Didn't show that one, but if you set a low yield potential in the cultivar, it's flat. High yield potential uses the higher nitrogen. Response to climate factors quite often dampened for the degraded, unfertilized soils. Summary slide, maize response to CO2 is small and less under nitrogen limit deficit. Epsom more CO2 responsive than DSET. I did not expect that. Yield decreased by rising temperature at warm sites, not necessarily cool sites. DSET more sensitive, and I know why. It's probably a question of no data for setting it well. Response to rainfall high. If you're in a site like South Africa, Republic of South Africa, where good soils and nitrogen fertilized, in Mali, Zimbabwe, very little response to rainfall. Response to nitrogen fertilizer greatly affected by what you do with this initial setting of the stable pools for soil carbon. Genetic potential makes a difference. And a lot of those responses we've been imagining to CTW are dampened when you have degraded soils. So we need to be very careful about pushing things into African environments. Good.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
We have some time for questions. Jeff.
Yeah. Ken, both of these models, if I remember correctly, are based on radiation use efficiency.
Yes.
And I think they both use a law of the minimum approach. So pretty much you're stuck if it's saying that if you've got low nitrogen, nothing else affects it. Is that correct?
Generally correct. Okay.
I'd suggest that's where a lot of investigation.
So when you see this thing like this with the flat with genetic potential or
it just doesn't
nitrogen.
As a physiologist, it just doesn't make sense to me. When you got low end, the crop mysteriously stops responding to water, CO2, and temperature.
I would argue both maize models need considerable work on a lot of things.
That's the next slide.
No, I had one with the temperature dependencies surprised me that they're as different as they are because they started the same place, but early 1990.
In addition to that, the two models differ widely, in terms of how the stresses are calculated and applied. Yeah. Water stress.
Yes. Yeah, the TE approach, I expected more differences because they have a very strong argument about TE efficiency, but the water responses, surprisingly, are not as different. I think it relates to because of low LAI as the driver.
One more question.
There are several cultivars because the cultivar for each different region, country is different.
So are these cultivars different into the responses?
Yes.
Different cultivars, they might respond differently to the CO2 or temperature.
Well, I'll show you the one here. Here's a case of, this is Kenya, and this cultivar was Epsom, was a good cultivar they're playing with, and another one of the DSAT, they had different genetic potential, created the different response to nitrogen at the high end.
But the stimulation yields are for each cultivar.
Well, but each different Epsom allowed to calibrate cultivars differently from the DSAT, and they came in with, we don't have a lot of good data in a lot of those cases to calibrate them. And some of these are open pollinated, not for one cross hybrids, okay? Yep. Yeah.
Thanks, Ken.